You know, there's a book that's called The World's Worst Predictions. Many people nowadays make predictions about what will happen in the future, what will happen tomorrow, what would be the fashion tomorrow, what would be the most popular dress or makeup for next year. It's the year end. But here are the worst predictions in history. King George II said in 1773 that the American colonies had little stomach or appetite for revolution. That means America won't have revolution. But 2 years later, in 1775, American Revolution started among the 13 British colonies. What happened after that? It resulted in the formation of Republic United States. Which year is the independence year of the United States? Do you know? 1776, right? 1 year after the revolution. So that's 3 years after the prediction that there would never be a revolution in the United States. There was a revolution, and from that came the United States. So then we thank God for that. I'm glad that prediction by the human being didn't work. An official of the White Star Line, speaking of the firm's newly built star flagship for the main big commercial ship, the Titanic, and it was launched in 1912, and he declared that the ship was unsinkable. It will never sink. Guess what happened? Same year, on April 15, 1912, the ship with 2,200 passengers sank when it hit an iceberg. And more than 1,500 people died on that ship. So again, that prediction didn't work. 1939, the New York Times said the problem with TV. TV was invented, but New York Times, someone was writing, giving a comment, saying that, you know, what's the problem with TV? Because it's hard for people to glue their eyes to that little box, so not many people will watch TV in the future. Guess what? See how many people glue their eyes to the TV set many hours every day. Another prediction that didn't work. An English astronomy professor said in the early 19th century that air travel at high speed would be impossible because passengers would suffocate traveling at such high speed on such high elevation in the air. Guess what? How many airplanes have been built since then? And how many people have traveled by the airplane? Is there anybody who have never tried traveled by the airplane? Put up your hand. Oh, only one person. Okay. So everybody has survived traveling in the air by high speed and nobody suffocated, right? So that prediction again didn't work. It's really impossible for man to predict even near future events accurately every time. Not to mention events hundreds of years later. It's absolutely a miracle from God that the prophecies, things said about the future in the Bible, in the Old Testament, and some in the New Testament, were fulfilled one by one very, very accurately. Some of them were said hundreds of years before that was fulfilled. How could that be possible? Why couldn't man predict the future, but the Bible's prophets could, even for things that would happen hundreds of years later? What do you think? How could that be possible? It is because God created time, and God is beyond time. God is the writer, God is the artist, God is the author of history. When God says something will happen, you can be sure that would happen. It is like God already wrote a book, and we are like characters in the book. What will happen to the characters? The characters themselves don't know in the book. But the author, God knows exactly what will happen to the characters. And the characters will find out what will happen to them until the end of the book. After they have read through the book, you know, oh, what has happened to the character, right? But God already knows. because he has already written the book history, because it's beyond history, it's beyond time. Today we'll see how Prophet Isaiah accurately prophesied about Jesus Christ, the Savior of mankind, 700 years before Jesus Christ was born. 700 years before Jesus Christ was born. All these prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And we'll think about what does it mean that all the prophecies about the Messiah or the Savior King of Israel who came to save Israel and mankind were all fulfilled in Jesus Christ about his first coming to earth. Remember, Jesus Christ will come back again, and I know it can happen anytime. You can be sure that will happen soon. But today we'll learn four things about the long-expected Savior of mankind, Jesus Christ. First, we learn that Jesus Christ is the Savior despised and rejected by men. Let me read from Isaiah chapter 53. You have the Bible, you can open it to Isaiah chapter 53, also on the slides, if you cannot see from the slides because of the drums or the setup today. Yeah, open your Bible to Isaiah 53. Verse 1 to verse 3 says that, "Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" He, talking about the Messiah, "grow up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." That's what Prophet Isaiah said about the Messiah 700 years before Jesus Christ was born. Here, what Prophet Isaiah is saying is that no one can believe that the Savior of mankind grew up from a very miserable, very lowly social status. Tender shoots. What is tender shoot? Tender shoot are those weak, young shoots among other plants that is often very annoying, that's not going to be productive in the future, so the farmers will often cut them off. Unwanted. Also like the root out of dry ground. No water and very, very weak plants. Jesus Christ's background is so miserable. No one can believe that he will be the seed of the royal blood King David of Israel, and he is the long-expected Savior of mankind. You know, when the president or a king or queen of Great Britain comes, it is with glamour, it is with luxury, and nobody would miss that is the queen or that is the president. But when Jesus Christ came, nobody expected that he would be in such a lowly background and status. But Jesus Christ indeed fulfilled this prophecy about the Messiah. In what way? Have you read the Gospels? All of you read the Gospels? Stories about Jesus Christ from the New Testament, the first four books? What have you learned? Bless you. What have you learned in the Gospels that would confirm that this prophecy has been fulfilled? That Jesus Christ was rejected, was despised. Did you put up your hand? Yes, answer the question.
The Pharisees.
The Pharisees that would confirm that Jesus Christ was despised and rejected. Why?
Because they despised and rejected him.
Yes. Actually, that's right. Pretty good. For a reason that I'll explain why. Okay? So, any other volunteers? That's good. Okay, what's your name?
Jesse.
Jesse. Right? Jesse. Okay. Thanks, Jesse. And Let me tell you from the New Testament what happened to Jesus Christ, and that will confirm this prophecy. First, Jesus Christ grew up in a very, very poor family. What did his dad do? A carpenter, right? A very poor carpenter. But remember, the common people in Roman Empire, they could barely make a living. At that time, the Roman Emperor was trying to get more tax from these poor farmers. Most of these people were farmers working on the farm. And Joseph, Jesus' legal father, was just a carpenter, not even having a farm. So doing some type of odd jobs, helping people to fix this and fix that. That's what Jesus' legal dad was doing. And Jesus also grew up and then became a carpenter as well. So that's the first reason why Jesus would be despised, be rejected, seen as someone not noble, but very low in status. Second, Jesus was despised and rejected since he was a child because Virgin Mary, mother of Jesus Christ, you know that? She became pregnant before the wedding day. Okay? Some people might not think that's a serious problem today in the United States because many people get pregnant before marriage, even before they have committed to get married. But 2,000 years ago, in Israel, even in mainland China, people could be stoned to death for doing that. Okay, it's a social taboo. But Virgin Mary became pregnant before her wedding day by the miraculous power of God. Okay, according to the Bible, it's the Holy Spirit that made her pregnant. It's a miracle from God, not from man. But people who didn't know about this, what would they think? They would think, Mary broke the engagement vow. Maybe she slept with Joseph already. Or she slept with someone else. That would be even more serious. So that's why I believe after Jesus was born, people were talking about Jesus, about the family behind their backs. Some of them, some of the kids, you guys are very bold. You would just talk to people in people's face about something that you don't like about that person. You illegitimate son, you don't even know who is your father. No, kids can be sometimes very cruel. Do you know why? Because we are all sinners. That's why we all need Jesus. We all need to come to listen to God's word, or otherwise we can grow up to be an even more terrible person. The third reason why Jesus Christ was despised, rejected, was that actually he was almost murdered. If you have read the Gospels, within 2 years after he was born, King Herod wanted to kill the so-called prophesied Messiah so that the Messiah would not take his place to be the king. Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, indeed, fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy about that Jesus Christ will be born in Bethlehem. Do you know where in the Old Testament this prophecy was mentioned? Bible trivia? It's in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. It mentioned that Jesus Christ will be born, the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. Indeed, Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. But many people, because Jesus Christ later on moved to Nazareth, they didn't think that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. As a result, they didn't think that Jesus Christ was the prophesied Messiah. Later on, because an angel asked Joseph, Jesus' legal father, to leave Bethlehem after Jesus Christ was born within 2 years, because the angel knew that King Herod was trying to kill every baby under 2 years old. Indeed, many, many babies were killed. It was a very horrible, horrible situation. Many parents lost their kids. Many people were crying. But because of God's protection, Jesus Christ escaped this slaughter. Again, later an angel asked Joseph to return to Israel from Egypt. Okay, the angel asked him to go to Egypt. And then the angel again asked Joseph, Mary, and Jesus to come back to Israel, saying that it's not safe because Herod, King Herod, has died. Indeed, King Herod died. Again, this fulfilled another prophecy about that the Messiah will come back to Egypt. It is in Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, that this prophecy was mentioned. What I mentioned earlier, many other things that were also literal fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. After they returned from Egypt, they settled in Nazareth in Galilee. Okay, this might answer, this might echo with Jesse's answer earlier, why the Pharisees would look down upon Jesus and despise and reject Jesus. Jesus Christ was despised and rejected because he grew up in a despised city, Nazareth. Nazareth was despised. Do you know why? What's wrong with Nazareth? Jesus Christ was called the Jesus of what? Nazareth. And according to Luke chapter 18, verse 37, John chapter 1, verse 45, and many other verses, it says that it is the Jesus of Nazareth. People thought that was where he was born, because that's why, that's where he was, and he grew up. But Nazareth was despised by the people of Israel, according to John chapter 1, verse 46. Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. But Nathanael, he himself was a Galilean, and Nazareth was part of Galilee. So, and Galilee already had a bad reputation for lack of culture and people speaking rude dialects. People despised Galileans. But a Galilean was despising someone from Nazareth. So, people from Nazareth would be even worse in social status and social reputation. And because these people were not religious and they were very loose morally, they don't follow the moral rules said by the Pharisees. That might be the reason why that the Pharisees would despise Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. What good thing can come from Nazareth? Jesus was also despised and rejected by the religious leaders because of his job as a carpenter. He never received any formal training. Those Pharisees were like people who have PhD degrees. But Jesus never even went to college. Okay? Of course, they would look down upon Jesus. I believe if someone without a college degree, and later on you get your college degree, even your master's degree or PhD degree, I think in some way you think that you are better than that person who does not have your degree. And the Pharisees thought the same way when they saw Jesus. Moreover, although the New Testament didn't mention what Jesus Christ looked like, Jesus should have looked ugly. Okay? Listen. Jesus should not look as handsome as we often portray him to be. Very handsome, very like a tall forehead, tall nose, very nice features in the movies about Jesus. But Jesus should not have looked that handsome or attractive, contrary to what we think. That's why chapter 53, Isaiah, verse 2, second part, it says that he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. How can that person be handsome? Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He might have looked, if not ugly, very average. Nobody would say, what a cute kid. No, nobody has ever said, wow, Jesus is so cute. When you were growing up, many people would have said, oh, you're so cute, you're so cute. I'm not sure if anybody ever said to my mom and dad that I was cute. I was not sure. But physical features, even in Jesus' time, influenced social status. We often put an equal sign between beauty and social status. Okay? So if you are beautiful in this world, people respect you more and you have higher chance to succeed in this secular world. Go to the next slide. Who is him? Is he handsome? You want to be like him in the future? Some of you think he is handsome. But Abraham Lincoln suffered from his ugliness throughout his lifetime and even during his tenure appointment as President of the United States. Those who knew him, however, saw past the ugliness and threw the gentleness of the eyes into the compassion of his heart. At one time, Lincoln is known to have responded to a question about his ugliness. Someone actually asked about his ugliness. How do you feel about it? Everybody thinks that you're ugly. Lincoln said, "The face you have before 40, you cannot help. I was born that way. But the face you have after 40, you deserve. Because after 40, I think whether you're handsome or not, it's because of the wrinkles and those things, it makes not too much difference. But after 40, you have built up your character. Your beauty will shine from inside out, not just what is outside." That's the wisdom that Lincoln, the President Lincoln had, that made him great, a great president of the United States, who helped to free the slaves, who now are free, the African Americans used to be slaves to the white people. We often talk about the suffering of Jesus Christ before crucifixion and during crucifixion, and then we already are very appreciative of what Jesus Christ suffered, as described graphically in the movie The Passion of the Christ. I believe most college students who are about 13 years old should have seen this movie. Who have seen this movie? The Passion of the Christ. Well, even some of the younger ones, I thought that's rated R, right? Did you close your eyes while you were watching that movie?
No, my mom bought it and I just watched it with her.
Well, you watched through the whole movie with all your eyes open?
I got bored after a while.
Huh?
I got bored after a while.
Oh, okay. I thought you'd be scared. Alright, because that was a very realistic description visually of what Jesus Christ went through, especially his suffering before crucifixion and during crucifixion. But this passage reminds us that Jesus Christ's suffering for us is more than the pain that he took before crucifixion and during crucifixion. Actually, starting from Christmas Day, the day that we remember Jesus Christ's birth, Jesus Christ started suffering, being despised, being rejected for the reasons I just mentioned, but all these fulfilled the prophecy about the Messiah, and Jesus Christ is the long-expected Messiah. What are you trying to get in life? Most of you are trying to get a degree, maybe 2 degrees, 3 degrees, high degrees. We strive to live a life of respect, acceptance, fulfillment, and happiness. Everyone wants to be happy. When I first came to the United States, I was an international student, and I talked to the boss of the restaurant that my brother was working in. He was delivering food for the restaurant, and the son of the owner, I asked him, "What do you want in life?" He just said, I mean, he grew up in a rich family, okay? He had everything. He just said, "I just want to be happy." Well, that's all you want? Maybe that's the reason why he had everything. He could not find happiness in material things, but he wants happiness. We all want happiness. But Jesus Christ, as the eternal Son of God, the Son of God, the privileged Son of God, he came here not respected, not accepted, not being fulfilled, and found no happiness because of his social background and status. His life was marked by despite, rejection, sorrow, and grief. But why would God send his only son to the earth in such lowly social status instead of someone born like a prince of a king, okay, or with a gold spoon in his mouth, okay, privilege. One more question. Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and he was always the Son of God, always God, equal in essence with God the Father. He actually created the heavens and the earth with God the Father and also the Holy Spirit. He knew what would happen to him if he came to the earth. He knew if he came, he would be despised, rejected. But why would he still take the challenge? Would you go for something that would result in rejection, in despise, in sorrow and grief? Would you try to get your college degree if what that would get you is sorrow, grief, rejection and despise? I don't think you would try to get that degree. It's what is the opposite that would drive you to get your college degree or a job. But Jesus Christ took on a job that would result in despise, rejection, sorrow and grief. According to Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Jesus Christ was always the Son of God, always God, the same essence as God the Father. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. His essence as God never changed. But why would Jesus take on such a horrible job? That brings us to the second point about the Savior. Because Jesus Christ is the Savior, he suffered for our sins and our sorrows. This is a capture from the screen, from the movie, The Passion of the Christ. When Jesus Christ was being caught and being flogged before he was crucified. Look at the blood. According to Isaiah chapter 53 verse 4, surely he took up our infirmities or weaknesses and flaws and carried our sorrows, deep sadness. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. Jesus Christ suffered social rejection and excruciating physical pain and torture before and during the crucifixion for our weaknesses, for our sins, for the sadness that we will bear when we are eternally separated from God. But the Israelites, God's chosen people, when Jesus Christ was on earth, they thought Jesus Christ deserved all the punishment. Why? Because Jesus Christ simply claimed and proved that he was the Son of God, he was God. But to them, there was blasphemy, and there was disrespect, there was insult to their God. They believed that God created heavens and earth. And I see a human being, and this human being says that, I am God. Wow, what an insult to my God. How can you be God? I see you as human being, right? That's why these Pharisees, another reason these Pharisees not only despised Jesus, but also wanted to kill Jesus. But if Jesus Christ didn't want them to catch him by just saying a word, even all the Roman armies will be killed, because by his word, he even created the heavens and the earth. But Jesus Christ suffered all these for us because of our sins. Next slide. Jesus was being crucified on the cross. According to Isaiah chapter 52, verse 14, just before this passage that we're studying, it says that just as there were many who were appalled, they were shocked by something dreadful. You should have feel shocked when you were watching the movie. They were shocked at the human being being tortured to not like a human being anymore. It says that his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. But verse 5 of chapter 53 of Isaiah says that he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed to the point of being killed for our iniquities. All because of our sins, not because of anything that Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ was sinless. Nobody could find any fault in what he did in his life. The only reason that they crucified him was that he claimed himself to be the Son of God. He claimed himself to be God. And they could not accept that. Even though Jesus Christ proved that indeed he was the Son of God. I will show you from the New Testament next week that why Jesus Christ indeed is the Son of God. Through his miracles, proving who he is. Jesus Christ did not deserve the suffering and the pain. We deserve it. So while you're watching the movie or while you celebrate Christmas, you should be weeping. You should be crying with gratefulness, thankfulness, because you should be the one taking all the pain and suffering. But because of Jesus, now you can have a relationship with God, and you don't need to worry about your eternal punishment that will result in despise, in rejection, in eternal punishment, being separated from God. But there's something that's comforting, knowing that Jesus Christ came in such a lowly status. Because Jesus Christ experienced pain and sorrows, he understands what it is like to struggle with pain in your life, to struggle with disappointments in your life, to struggle with sorrows in your life. He can feel our pain when we are suffering. And not only can he feel our pain, he knows how to help. When I sometimes see people suffering, I really want to help. But in some occasions, I find out that there's really nothing that I can do on some occasions. But you know, Jesus Christ didn't just feel for us, but he also practically solved the biggest problem of our life. Bless you. Are you experiencing despise, sorrow, rejection, and grief in your life now? If not, that's good. But if you have ever experienced any sorrow, rejection, despise, and grief, just come to Jesus. He understands you and he surely can help you. He's only one prayer away. And he talks to you through the Bible. And he practically helps you through the Holy Spirit. That comes to the third point about our long-expected Savior. Jesus Christ, he brought us peace. Next one. Jesus Christ brought us peace and salvation. According to verse 5, Isaiah chapter 53, but he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, the punishment that brought us peace. Oh, Jesus Christ took our punishment in order to bring us peace with God, so that we would not be separate from God anymore, but the punishment was on him. And by his wounds he suffered. And there were wounds on his body. Before the crucifixion, all the wounds were bleeding, causing great pain. But by his wounds, we are healed. By his wounds, we can have salvation, to be saved, to have eternal life. Here it tells us that Jesus Christ suffered and died for our sins. In order that we can have peace with the holy God, we are sinners. People try to do all kinds of things to be free from eternal death. Good deeds, good morals, education. Some people think getting a degree will make them a better person. Actually, sometimes make them worse if they don't know God. It makes them more evil, but they will try to do evil in a way that people cannot catch them by the law. Or religion. People come to church, but if they do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that does not make them justified good enough to go to heaven. Because no matter how many good things we do, if we have sinned even once according to God's perfect standard, if you have not once, sorry, you are a sinner and you deserve to be eternally separate from God. Is there anybody who has never lied before, even once? Nobody. Everybody is a liar here. So, and everybody is just looking at sinning with your mouth. You deserve to go to hell to be separate from God. We try to do all kinds of good works, all kinds of things. Many other religions try to help themselves to go to heaven, but they cannot, because this is too perfect a standard for them to achieve. Only Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the God himself, if he came here to suffer for us, that would substitute for our punishment in God's eyes. So that's what Jesus Christ did at the cross, being crucified, and of course through his life, all his life suffering for us. As a result, we see the cross, it's like a bridge. Death is long enough to bridge us from eternal death to God so that we can have eternal life. Isn't that wonderful? I really like this presentation. It talks about what is the gospel and how we can have eternal life, to have peace with God. That's why Jesus Christ came here, so that we can go to heaven, not go to hell. Thirdly, next slide. Jesus Christ is the Savior who helps us die to sin. Not only that we can have eternal life, but we should die to sin when we are living on earth now and live for righteousness. Verse 6 says that we all like sheep. Sheep are very silly animals, okay? Without a shepherd. If there's a cliff, if one sheep drops under the cliff, they all follow and all of them will be dead, okay? That's why they need shepherd. So if we don't have a shepherd, we don't have Jesus Christ in our life, many of us would do silly things like jumping off a cliff. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way, that's the way of death, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. But God laid on Jesus Christ our sins, so that we can come back to the shepherd, so that not only we don't need to suffer eternal death, but we also can die to sin in our life and live for righteousness. Do you know who is Peter in the Bible, in the New Testament? Peter was a bold disciple of Jesus Christ, always speaking for the other disciples as if he knew more than everybody else. Peter, one of Jesus' closest disciples, reflected on Isaiah 53, verse 5 and 6, what we just read. And he helped us to further explain what it means to us that Jesus Christ died for our sins, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23 to 25. Next slide. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23 to 25 says that Jesus Christ, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Die to sin. Live for righteousness. Come back to the shepherd. Even if you are already saved by faith in Jesus Christ, and knowing if you are going astray or not, you're doing stupid things, obviously against God's will, come back to the shepherd. Next slide, please. How do we come back to the shepherd? We should stand firm like a Superman, but for Jesus Christ, remain strong in Jesus Christ. According to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to verse 17, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful man, the lust of his eyes, pornography is one, the boasting of what he has and does, pride, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Let's look at Christmas, not just as a holiday of retelling the romantic, beautiful story of the birth of a cute baby Jesus. Many churches have gifts, replaying, recounting the Christmas story, and usually it's a very cute baby. And whoever played the cute baby, the parent would be very proud of the cute baby. Oh, what a cute baby. And when people had that comment, they would say, that's my baby, that's my baby. See how cute he is? But that's not the point, okay? Jesus should not be a very cute baby. And they would say, wow, how beautiful and romantic this kid is. What a beautiful performance by the choir. Wow, so good. If it is not good, they will start criticizing about the performance. They are all missing the point of why we celebrate Christmas. Christmas is also not just a holiday for us to decorate the Christmas tree, our houses, and definitely not an occasion to pray for gifts we want from the Santa Claus in our life. Each one, I think, has a Santa Claus in your life, and you expect on Christmas Day or before that you receive a big gift. Some of you, for the younger ones, even the older ones, might be a we, okay? And who is the Santa Claus? Might be your parents, or might be a boyfriend or girlfriend, or husband or wife. But that's not the reason why we celebrate Christmas. Christmas is for remembering the beginning of Jesus Christ's nighttime, whole night of sorrow, grief, rejection, despite excruciating pain and suffering for all mankind. So that whoever believes in what Jesus Christ did for their sins punishment, in their place, they will not suffer from the eternal sorrow, grief, rejection, despite excruciating pain and suffering in hell, but have eternal fulfillment, joy, peace, glory with God in heaven forever. Isn't this the greatest news of all? But what's keeping us from telling others about this greatest news of all? We spend a lot of time in church doing all kinds of things. But when we ask to go out to share with people the good news about Jesus Christ, people will try to hide away, maybe keep themselves busier from doing that because they're so scared. Sometimes I just don't understand. If people understand how great a gift they have received, how grateful they are, there's no reason that they will hold back to share this good news. If you have cancer and you have found cure for cancer, I believe you want to tell everybody about that so that nobody else will suffer from the same sufferings that you have gone through. Not only that, what's keeping us from dying to our sins in our life? We should still feel the temptations. Dying to sins doesn't mean that we'll feel no more temptations, but that we, because now we are a new creation in Jesus Christ, we have moved into a new kingdom. It's like we have immigrated from either China or Hong Kong, whatever places, into the United States, into a new kingdom. We are separate from the old kingdom. It might be under communist rule, dark communist rule. But now in the United States, it's democratic. There is freedom. But we should be separate from our old sinful lifestyle and live for righteousness by returning to the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. During Hurricane Gustav, the power was out. Nina and I waited and waited for the power to be back. And then we heard one after another that, power is back, power is back. I mean, I was able to come to the church and check email and look at Facebook. Oh, he got power back, and he also got power back. When would I get mine? But I was getting more hopeful. As more people were getting their power back, I would also get my power back too, very soon. And also night. When the power was finally back, after not having power for more than a week, we were so happy that since then we appreciate power and night electricity much, much more than we did earlier. But how much greater is the joy of having Jesus Christ, the Savior of mankind, come to us about 2,000 years ago after waiting for thousands of years, not just 7 days, not just a week. Since our ancestors, Adam and Eve, sin against God, resulting in death and slavery by sin, resulting in a life of weakness, sin, and darkness to all mankind. But weakness and darkness cannot be overcome. You can immigrate from the kingdom of weakness and darkness into the kingdom of power and light through Jesus Christ. If we have already immigrated to this kingdom of light and power, let's also help others to get into this kingdom. It is not by our power, it is just by sharing with people the good news about Jesus Christ, what he did for us. We have the power and the light. During the power outage, we were waiting for the electricians to come. They were like the messenger of power and light. But we are all messengers of light and power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we can deliver power and light to all those people who are suffering in darkness, weakness, and sin. Some of them don't even realize that how much darkness and sin they are in. Because they are in darkness, some of them don't even realize. So this Christmas, share this Christmas gift with your friends or people you meet before Christmas. Again, I have Christmas gift for everyone. I don't just say Merry Christmas, but I also want to share with you a Christmas gift, the best Christmas gift. Each one can take a copy. If there's not enough, I have another 50 copies over there. Just share this with someone in your life before Christmas. And let's pray, and then continue to distribute the gift. Oh dear Heavenly Father, I thank you because through Prophet Isaiah, we have seen what the Messiah, that the Israelites, God's chosen people, should be expecting. But they did not read God's word to their heart. They did not understand God's word. That's why those religious leaders, when Jesus Christ came, they despised Jesus. They did not accept Jesus. They even wanted to kill Jesus Christ. Let us not do something so silly to reject God because we don't understand God's word. I thank you that through the study, we should have gotten a deeper understanding of who the Messiah really is through Jesus Christ. He fulfilled all the prophecies about his first coming, and he provided the solution to the biggest problem of mankind, that's eternal rejection, despise, punishment because of their sins. Thank you, God, for giving us Jesus Christ, who suffered so much throughout his lifetime for us, to the point of dying on the cross. We should be weeping in tears when we think about what Jesus Christ accomplished through his suffering lifetime. And we should be more appreciative of Christmas this year. When we celebrate it, it's not just about a cute baby being born, a nice story to tell people about, but think about the suffering that Jesus Christ had to bear after he was born. And give us courage, give us boldness to just share this good news with people when we really appreciate you for what you have done to us through Jesus Christ. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.